provided for my wife, Lenita, and I 13.5 years in Germany, and a son who spent, by the time he was 16, 12 years in Germany. Wonderful experiences, and there are very few parts of Europe that I haven't seen. It has provided an economic way of life. I have made a good living being a part of the military. I've had the tremendous experience of serving at my alma mater, twice in uniform, and now to be the commandant for the Defense Equal Opportunity Management Institute. I've commanded tank battalions, and I was ready to charge across the Iron Curtain if it occurred. My position was on the GDP. And we won the Cold War. And you got to think about that. We didn't shoot. It is rare in history to change the philosophical setup of a nation without defeating them. And the Soviet Union is defeated. And I spent 13.5 years of that in a peaceful attempt to overthrow the Soviet Union. And that's only possible because you forged the way. Because somebody's got to lead. And I fully understand that I could not stand here today proud to be in this uniform, to have served my country, if you had not done what you did, not grumbling, unstintingly, being rewarded by a few medals, but most of all being rewarded by being sent off to Europe and the South Pacific to fight some more. And you did it. My hat's off to you. Thank you.
Something else to challenge my men and women with. And I'm constantly seeking those challenges for them. Because it is only with challenge that they're going to be able to succeed in the competitive world that's ahead of them. You overcame obstacles that were much greater than any that we will ever have to endure. But those obstacles will seem to be of the same magnitude for them, because they haven't had as tough a life as you had had prior to going through the experience of the Alaskan Highway. So I want to thank you on behalf of my battalion, and I want to say to you, your inspiration to me will be an inspiration to my battalion, because we will see to it that it is. They will not get a chance to meet you, but I'm going to meet as many of you as I can today so that I can take your experiences to them and tell them they can do anything they put their minds to. Thank you very much.
When Captain Smith went to get some extra iced tea for my good friend Colonel Mike Wallace and for me, my wife, who is also my great supporter, asked me the question. She asked me, Captain Smith, are you Colonel Wallace's wife? And I said, no way that she'd be in the Navy, he'd be in the Army. They have to be together. Want to hear a remark from Colonel Mike Wallace, the real Mike Wallace. He's over our Army ROTC.
Thank you, Dr. Ejon. Congresswoman Davis, Honorable King, Dr. Humphreys, my friend Colonel Joe, Captain Smith, honored guests, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you greetings from the entire command of the Army Reserve Officer Training Corps, commanded by Major General Wallace Arnold, a black man, and especially the Ranger Battalion here at Florida A&M University. I'm extremely proud to be a part of this great commemoration today, recognizing great men who have helped shape our country's history. Although history books have failed to document the fact that over 3,000 black men participated in the construction of the Alcorn Highway, today we begin to set the record straight. And I'm proud to be a part of this program, Dr. Ejon. Again, thank you for inviting me. And I want to say thank you to the men of the Black Corps of Engineers for your great accomplishments and the great cornerstone that you have set in shaping the democracy and the freedoms that we now experience in this great hemisphere. I must say that as a young lieutenant, I passed up the opportunity to travel the Alcorn Highway as I was once being considered for an assignment in Alaska. And the first thing I wondered was, how am I going to get there? And I heard about the Alcorn Highway. I'm disappointed now that I did not take the opportunity so that today I could stand before you and tell you that I've traveled that road. But if the opportunity exists again, I'll tell you, I'll take it. Again, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done, as Colonel Joe said, to make it acceptable and to set the path for young folk like myself and those that follow us in the Reserve Officer Training Corps, these young men and women that you see posting colors and thousands of others like them, so that we may have the opportunity to experience it. Again, I say thank you. Welcome to FAMU. Welcome to Tallahassee. And Godspeed.
In my search for a Black Corps of Engineers member, I have one fellow that I talk to almost every day, daily. He did not make it because he had some other things to do. But he was Master Sergeant Aubrey. Now, Master Sergeant was one of the highest ranks you could have prior to the 1940s. And believe it or not, he came and he taught at A&M University. He was a professor of art for the Carnegie Library, the old Black Archives. He went and worked at Alabama State, and he has had more than 200 one-man shows. But he's quite distinguished and a member of our faculty who was also a member of the Corps who worked in Alaska. But now I have a surprise for you.
do I have a surprise for you? Surprise for you. One of my good friends, and boss man, and et cetera, is Dr. Benjamin L. Perry, former president of the university. That president you met, who, by the way, my dear friend, was a member of the Corps of Engineers from 1942, 1948, and his pictures and some of your things, Dr. Perry, in the Black Archives already, you didn't know that, of course. But I want to have a great day from our ex-president of the university, a man who did a great deal in saving his institution, to deserve it for by this excellent supporter, Dr. Humphrey. Dr. Perry, will you say a few words, please?
Thank you. I'll be short. I just want to tell this detachment that's here that I'm not a sympathizer. I'm an empathizer. I know what it's like. I was there. World War II. I went in as a private, came out as a first lieutenant. I never got chances overseas down under. Wahoo, any retop, side pan, to sleep in nothing but a pup tent while I build barracks for the other, for the majority. I know what a slip trench is like because I sat over too many of them. I just want to let you know, maybe I don't know what it's like to be in minus any kind of cold weather, but I do know what it's like to be in 120 degree weather. And the pup tent just didn't afford you too much ventilation if you're trying to keep the snakes out. So I just want you to know that I appreciate what you went through. I'm a empathizer rather than a sympathizer.
Thank you very much. Now I would like for each and every member who is here from the Black Corps of Engineers to please stand. Every last one of the veterans that we honored today.
Years old, and Alaska young boy just out of, shortly out of school. Having gone to Alaska was a frightening thing. But thank God we were able to brave that cold weather and get the Alkane Highway over at a record time. Yes, we had bear meat to eat. When the Japanese struck at Toot, the Aleutian Islands, we got isolated in there. But God was able to keep us alive and healthy. I'm one of the fellows who was in the medical, attached to the 97 GS regiment. When one toe was froze, I had to operate on that toe. And heal me, God bless me. Sulfur drugs were the most popular thing then. Sulfur drugs would do anything, do a miracle. Many of the guys came to the dispensary sergeant, give me some sulfur drugs. Thank you for recognizing having us come. I often wondered why we had to come, why we had to wait so long and come to Florida. But this is closer to coming to Florida because it's warm. They froze us to death in Alaska and they brought us down here to thaw us out. Thank you.
Now from the 93rd, we'd like to hear from Lieutenant Walter Dudrow.
Hello, and thank you for providing this opportunity to be part of paying homage to those who deserve homage. These men did a great job on the Alaskan Highway. I was with the 93rd, and we were on a little short section south of Tagish, but we did not have barracks. We slept in tents. We all ate at the same kitchen. We lived together, and it was a great outfit. I thoroughly enjoyed working with the 93rd. We had great friends. I had great friends there, and I'm sure I was their friend. They were from, a lot of them were from Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana. Some of them, well, a good many of them, hadn't had the opportunity to get a good education, and we taught some to read and write. I have to tell you one little story, and this story was in the geographic, and it was also in Reader's Digest once, but it came from somewhere in our outfit that sent it to them. We had to send their mail, and in this letter, this boy was writing, we had just arrived in Alaska, and it illustrates somewhat his lack of education, but his determination to do what he was supposed to do. And he said, "Dear Ma, we are in Carcross, Yukon Territory, Canada. But don't worry, Mom, we'll get it back." And there was one other thing I wanted to, like, throw a little humor and things together. But I can't understand why any of these other people were up there. After I got home on my first leave, there was a little article in our county paper, and it stated, "Lieutenant Walter Dudrow is home on leave after having dealt the Alaskan Highway." But it was a great opportunity, and I'm just so glad to be here and talking to you. I think it's a great project. Thanks a lot. And from the 95th, we'd like to hear from Reginald Beverly.
Good evening, Dr. came to the 95th Engineers in the spring of 42 at Fort Bragg as a regimental surveyor. Then we started the troop train on a long trip to Edmonton, Alberta, going over the mountains of northern Canada. And the troop train on the bridges was built out of 12 by 12 oaks. They were screeching as the train went across. You could look and see the back of the train going this way and the front this way. You wondered whether we were going to get to help to build the Alcan Highway. And after we got to up to Dawson Creek, British Columbia, we unloaded and so forth. Our first day we were experiencing all around, looking around, and the sun was probably 5 degrees high, and we were getting kind of sleepy, but we're still moving around. Someone says it's 11:30, but we weren't used to the sun staying that high, so we didn't get any sleep the first night. So when we went up, it wasn't too cold. We gradually broke into the cold weather. But by the cooperation of each part of the 95th Engineers, that is the 1st Battalion and 2nd Battalion, the motor pool, the mess hall of the mess sergeants, and the Department of Transportation and the medics, by working together, we were successful in doing a good job on the highway. And we thank the Lord for Jeff and Carol with us 50 years ago, and some of the troops opposite us were in, I will say, Neeson huts and so forth. We were in tents, perennial tents. However, the Lord was with us because frost, an inch thick, did as much insulation as the glass wool in the other hut, so we had insulation anyway. All right. To help us over, to speed up our transportation. The D8 bulldozers went across some rivers on ice. We didn't even have to build a pontoon bridge. So we thank the 95th, a few fellows that are here. It's a pleasant experience to see them after 50 years. And even after the Alcan Highway was built, the 95th had some future work. They went over to Europe. They went over, I'll say, 20 days after D-Day, when they were 13 miles in on the Normandy beachhead. We thought it was going to be driven back in the ocean, but we didn't. And they went on to win 5 battle stars in 5 different areas of Europe. All right, thank you very much.
And last but no means least, Mr. Frank Breehorn of the 388th.
One thing I have to say, pardon me, is Professor Edom, you passed me. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, and honored guests, honored speakers, especially from Alaska, and you too, Mr. Martin. I appreciate being here, and it's an honor to be here. And what I've seen so far, it was an honor to, what I've seen that you have done for us. And I hope you continue. And thank you very much.
Before I get to my good friend, Cecil D. Keene, let me say a few things. One, I want all the members of the Friends to stand. Most important group is your support group. Would all the members of the Friends of the Black Archives please stand? Yeah.
see her. And my own wife, Ms. Lisa Eaton. And I want all the members who helped to put this together under a crisis condition to please stand. Please. Titus Brown, Lisa Easton, Missouri Farmer, Dr. Larry Ripples, Professor R.L. Williams, Dr. Valerie Smith, Ms. Dr. P. Williams, Ms. Dr. Patricia Walker, Bernard Hendrick, Mr. Ronald G. Early, Ms. Jean Jones, Mr. Jim Spencer, Ms. Nina Martinez. I learned a long time ago when you get ready to do something and you do it illegally like I always do it. You always involve your boss man. You get all the bosses you can get above you, because then if they get on the program and got them involved, they can't catch you around the corner and choke you. I used to put us on Dr. Perry. I would get a grant. You know, and I write a grant. He would sign it, and I wanted to get this antique bus on the road, see. But I thought Dr. Perry didn't know this regular bus might break down. He signed it already. He said, I didn't tell you to get a driver, but I had a driver too. So I want to let you know, I learned a long time ago you get to involve all your bosses. So what I try to do today is that you know we're going to leave here and we're going to the governor, Lord Child will be speaking for us, 22nd floor of the Capitol. So I got the governor involved. Of course, I got my president involved. And I got my good friend, whom I've been close to, advisor to, and abused by for 37 years, who is now a member of the Board of Regents, Mr. Cecil, the Honorable Cecil B. King, will now close this program for us. To Bishop Carroll, who started this program for us, to the Master of Ceremonies, to the distinguished representative from Alaska, to President Humphreys, and to most of all, those of you who have joined us in identifying a period in history by celebrating the work of these great men whom we congratulate and support today. I would like to say thanks for this privilege and this opportunity. James Eaton is no, say, mistake. He comes out with whatever he wishes, and I'll begin by saying last night, whenever I saw Colonel Joe come in, he and his lovely wife were about to register, you know. So I stood up and I said, hey, General. Yeah. You know, he looked. If he didn't know, I really meant head general, because Eaton had told me he was going to be the general. But I'd like to begin by saying that I am as proud today to be an American as I was on June the 12th in 1942, when I was given a number 147676, because it represented a volunteer from the Fourth Service Command, and that was the beginning of my stay. Someone said that there were some particular place 50 years ago. I was on the campus of Tuskegee and trying to go to school and wanting to go to school, but we had to go and do what we called get the war on. The one reason, Jimmy, that I am here today is because I have not seen, and I belong to at least three of the veterans organization, I have not seen one reunion of any description that I might have participated in that would represent some sort of recognition. The last person I remember as seeing in service before I got out, Dr. B.L. Perry and I were leaving Oliver General Hospital in Augusta, Georgia. And that was probably the only person I would say I know I'm going to see time and time again, because he too lived in Florida. I would say that while it has been a deliberate oversight, that I'm even more proud of the fact today that the history of this great group is being made known. And I would like to say, without anything else and without hesitation, you gentlemen have given me a good feeling, because not only were those of us who will not ever get any sort of recognition, at least you are, at this point, being brought to the world's attention of the tremendous work and sacrifice that you made. Now, when President Humphreys was saying to somebody around here that he wanted the pictures of the gentleman who were going to be in this great celebration, and he wanted to do something with it, it made me feel even greater. When the representative from Alaska says that she's going to do something and make certain things known, it made me feel greater. And although we have just begun, it is going to, as I believe, be like a great mushrooming cloud of smoke get over this world, so that those contributions that all of us will have made will be recognized and appreciated. And I think God has been good to all of us. While we have never had what we wanted, we are working in the direction of trying to get it, and the only way we can do it is to make certain that history says to us that there are those persons who, without hesitation, who have gone on and participated, played the kinds of roles that will give Eton and other people, and those of you who have come from Alaska, those of you from Florida A&M University, and those persons that I will be talking about with the vote of regents, we have now an incident that by perchance, I just happen to be there, that I hope the world opens its eyes and sees. And I'd like to say with Godspeed, thank all of you for being here, and let's go on and feel proud of this great celebration.
Remember that tonight at 5 o'clock is the 22nd floor of the Capitol. Honorable Lorton Child will be waiting for you. Now, those people will be driving over there. You might want to park on, I guess that's the west side, next to the City Hall, and you have to sort of walk around because it's Sunday and go behind the old Capitol, and then that door in the new building that's behind the old Capitol would be open. You might have to push a button to get in. Then you go to the 22nd floor of the Capitol, where we have a reception by the governor and a speech by the governor. The people who are in the Army Corps of Engineers and their friends and family will be going by bus from Vermont again. The bus is here. We built a road this morning getting over here, but the bus is here now. So we'll be able to come back by bus when we have some panel discussions and relaxation before we go to the 22nd floor of the Capitol. Now, I think we want photographs of the Representative Davis, Dr. Morgan, Mr. King, Eton, Dr. Humphreys, Colonel Joe, and all of the members of the Army Corps of Engineers. You want a photograph? I think Mr. Eddie Jackson took care of that for you. Mr. Jackson wants to explain that. Too. Okay. Where's outside now? Okay. All right.
And then we moved on across to Cockrell, and that's Alaska. So that's where we started building the road. So we didn't have equipment right then, the heavy equipment that we had up here. And so we started with shells and sticks. And then when the heavy equipment comes, then they started using that. And I want to tell you another thing about Alaska. I had a headache right up over this left eye, and it come from the cold weather when I was working in Florida. A year ago, cold windy day, a real windy day and cold, and I got to go to the doctor and different things. It calmed down a while, but it wouldn't know as soon as it gets, you get some more cold, it come back again. But when I went to Alaska, these headaches I used to have in the summertime from the heat, a big crowd in the park. That cold weather got rid of those headaches. This headache was talking about when we left Alaska, we thought we were coming back to state one time, but they sent us to a hot climate.
the end, Calcutta ending. That's where we docked at. And as we're going across the equator, I know I woke up one morning, it's so hot, I'm out of sweat, and that pain was just starving, you know. And it usually didn't bother me till the winter time. And I go up on deck, and I cool off, and it went away, and it ain't come back no more. So, in climate, it's good for health too. Sometimes it's better than medicine.
Come on back up.